This morning's gospel reading is a difficult one because it demands so much from us. During the past several Sundays, you've been hearing Father John preach on Matthew chapter 18. I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter and show there is a pattern of mercy and forgiveness to what Matthew is telling us. The chapter starts out with the disciples asking Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus responds by saying, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." To be like a child would be to have childlike trust. Kids are vulnerable, as we well know, from reading in the papers or hearing on the news how they are taken advantage of by likes of predators and others. Jesus is very concerned for people who are vulnerable, as we should be too. Jesus wants us to be concerned for all people. Jesus follows up his story in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 13. "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? Here the great shepherd is not content to have 99 safe, but will risk everything in search of the lost sheep and bring it back to safety. In the eyes of our great shepherd, every sheep is important." Jesus wants us to enjoy the same sense of seriousness for the sheep that is outside the sheepfold. From saving the lost sheep, Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." In other words, not to gossip about what he has done. Jesus tells us that when your brother who sins listens to you, you have gained your brother. The purpose of this story is for us to obtain reconciliation with our brothers and sisters. For those who refuse to respond to the reconciliation process, the penalty will be severe. In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 4, Jesus tells his disciples, "Temptations of sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." In this passage, forgiveness is conditional upon the sinner seeking repentance. Today's gospel, if you remember, does not mention anything about repentance. In chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, Matthew records Jesus saying, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as Gentile and a tax collector. Here, a Gentile is anyone other than a Jew. They were known to be rebellious against God and most often had their own gods to worship." Now we come back to today's gospel reading. Our reading this morning is a continuation of the first part of the chapter. Being an accountant, I think of this parable as being like someone telling us in today's language to throw away their calculator and stop counting how many times to forgive. Forgiveness is what matters, not how many times. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? In Judaism, 3 times was deemed sufficient. So when Peter says 7 times, he thought he was being generous. This parable tells us that the true disciples of Jesus should show forgiveness without keeping account. Jesus tells us not 7 times, but 77 times. The ancient Christian commentary on Scripture, which I highly recommend for serious Bible study, tells us that the number 77 is a beautiful number because it symbolizes that all sins have been forgiven and that no generation will be missed by the divine gift of the cross. The number 77 is associated with Jesus Christ. Assigning sequential numbers to our alphabet, such as 1 for A, 2 for B, 3 for C, the numbers assigned to Christ are C equals 3, then H equals 8, R equals 18, I equals 9, S equals 19, and T equals 20. When added up, they total 77. With Christ, all sins are forgiven. I thought that was very interesting. And by the way, did you know in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 23 to 38, we're given the genealogy of Jesus back to Adam. If you count the descendants, there are 77 generations in descending order, starting with Jesus, all the way back to Adam, the source of the first sin. By doing so, Luke shows that Christ's mercy and forgiveness go back to Adam. When I read today's gospel account, it reminds me of my grandma Sadie, my dad's mom. She would also remind me that we should forgive those who have hurt us as often as it takes and not keep track. St. Hilary of Poitiers, who lived from 315 to 367 or 368, was a theologian and writer in what is today called France. He tells us in his commentary on Matthew that we should forgive each other as God has forgiven our sins in their entirety by his gift and not by our merit. We cannot earn forgiveness. Only by the grace of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, can we be forgiven. We should learn to forgive one another as God forgives us by the death of his Son on the cross. God's greatest gift to us was forgiveness. Humanity tested God and still does by not loving and forgiving one another when we get hurt. Sometimes it takes courage to offer forgiveness when we think the other person is to blame. Anger takes more energy than loving does. We are to pattern our lives after Jesus. Since Jesus forgave us our sins by dying on the cross, we should forgive our neighbors. Just like Grandma Sadie taught, we should not think about how many times we forgive, but need to cease being angry with those who sin against us as often as is necessary. Frequency of pardoning or forgiveness illustrates for us is never a time for anger. Since God pardons us all our sins in their entirety, his gift of mercy and forgiveness. Jesus continues and tells Peter in the story that the king wanted a settlement which amounted to 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents was an enormous amount of money, considering that a person's average earnings was only a talent a year. That amount in today's dollars would be over $6 billion. In our parable today, the king starts with the servant he owed the most. This servant was entrusted with a very lot of money, as I just mentioned a few moments ago. We don't know what the servant did with the money. He could have squandered it or lost it some way. The reason for not being able to pay is not the point of the lesson. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verses 21 to 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Luke also tells us in chapter 13, verses 22 to 30, he went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. After the king tells the servant that his family will be sold to pay the debt, he begs to have patience with him. He promises to pay everything that is owed. I think the king wants this to be a learning experience for the servant and those around him. He wants the servant to ask for mercy in order for the servant to not think he was innocent and had not of what he had done. By having pity on the servant, the king was hoping the servant would turn and have pity on his fellow servant. He wanted the servant to learn from his own situation and be merciful or forgiving to his servant. Trematius, the bishop of Aquila, from around 388 to around 407, a city in Italy, in his commentary tells us that the king is the Son of God in this parable, who held the whole human race guilty of infinite debt of sin. Since through the original sin we were all debtors of sin and death. He further said, the 10,000 talents represent the seriousness of sin in the human race. Trematius continues in his commentary to tell us that though all people by natural law were trespassers to the heavenly king, thereby guilty of sin. All people, Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. The Jews in particular, because they could not keep the law that was received by Moses. There was no way the Jews had the law of Moses, or for that matter the Gentiles, to pay off such a debt of sin. So our heavenly King, moved by mercy, forgave us all our sins. Now you may ask, what are those sins? They are the sins we pray about in the Lord's Prayer, where we ask, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Again, there is no way we can make penance for our sins. This is why God sent his Son to die on the cross. What a great gift that was, and still is. Our debt has been paid in full. Think of it as a note with the bank or some other creditor. Our note has been paid in full by us, by the water of our baptism and the drops of Christ's blood on the cross. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 27, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. He continues in verses 29 to 32. Let the bitterness and the wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness should not be given out in limited fashion. Forgiveness should be abundant and not counted. And we should remember to make it available to everyone, just as God's grace and mercy has been poured out to us. The measure of a man is not how great his faith is, but how great his love is. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The mighty oak was once a mighty nut that stood its ground. Man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Proverbs 12:3. Let us pray. Merciful God, to thee we commend ourselves and all those who need thy help and correction. Where there is hatred, give love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. Grant that we may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For in giving we receive, in pardoning we are pardoned, and in dying we are born for eternal life. Amen.